Let's turn to Luke's gospel, the first chapter. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, every time I read this verse, Holy Ghost goosebumps run right up and down my spine. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. I'll tell you, there's a lot of situations that have been called barren. Watch it. Watch it. Watch it. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Say it with me. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. Mary got all excited. Very interesting, notice in verse 41, it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. You said, what are you going to do with that, Brother Nichols? I'm going to rejoice in it. That's what I'm going to do. Verse 42, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Even babies get happy in the kingdom of God. Isn't that something? I'll tell you, Scrooges and Grouches and Grinches are going to be hard-pressed in the end time. Even babies are getting happy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, I love it, I love it, I love it. My soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord. I want to minister this in this service on how to succeed in missions impossible. How to succeed in missions impossible. Today we all face things that are impossible in the natural. And I like what my friend, veteran missionary evangelist statesman Wayne Meyer said, if your project doesn't require a miracle, you're just thinking too small. I want to say that one more time. If your project does not require a miracle, you're just thinking too small. You say, what's so important about that? Because if you can do it, God's left out of it. So how do you succeed in missions impossible? I didn't leave that in the singular. I had it that way, but the Lord nudged me and said, call it missions impossible. Because in the end time, it's not going to be just this or that. Everything we look at in the gleaning of the end time harvest in the natural is going to be impossible. If we could do it, we would have already done it. Following with this theme in the first chapter of Luke's gospel on how to succeed in missions impossible, first of all, you need to know who you are and what you have in Jesus Christ. That's one reason I appreciate our Bible school so very much. In that verse when the angel came to Mary, verse 28, the angel said three things that every believer needs to understand. There are people that live a lifetime as a believer, quote, but they never really know all that they could believe. What did God say to a woman? And women, if there's anybody that ought to thank God for Jesus, it's women. No one has elevated womanhood. No one has given more respect and love and dignity and purpose in life to women than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Women were not much more than chattel mortgage, and it hasn't been that many hundreds of years ago. But thank God, Jesus loves women. And I know that our precious Catholic friends may have made too much over Mary, but sometimes I think Protestants don't appreciate her enough. I think we ought to thank God that there was a young woman who was willing to lay everything in her life on the line to obey God. But here was the message that came to Mary as Gabriel began to open the message of God. The angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, and blessed art thou among women." You say, "Well, what does that have to do with me?" Read Ephesians, Galatians, Colossians. Read all the in him scriptures, and don't be afraid to put your name there. We are not only in Christ, but thank God we are complete in Christ. And God's polishing all of us. That's why there's so many messages that speak of the difficulties in people's lives, so many prayer lines, so many Holy Ghost opportunities to get it together in every facet of your life. Mary, you're highly favored. The margin, and really the original, means that the angel said, "Mary, you're greatly graced." There's a great grace in your life, Mary. I thank God for the grace of God. Oh, I love that chorus. I've never heard you sing it in more beautifully than you sang it in the service this morning. I thank God for the grace of God. Mary, there's a lot of grace in your life. Thank God for grace. Mary, you're greatly graced. Number two, Mary, the Lord is with thee. The Lord's with you. And now I believe you may be ready for number three. You are blessed. It's amazing how many believers still subscribe to the hee-haw mentality that if there weren't for bad luck, there'd be no luck at all. We are greatly graced. The Lord is with us. He really is. And thank God we are blessed. Abraham, if you'll listen to what I tell you, if you'll believe it, and if you'll do it, I'm going to bless you. But you know, more important than being blessed is to be able to be a blessing. The greatest desire of my heart nowadays is not just to be blessed for Bob Nichols, but because I am blessed, I can bless someone else. So first of all, you need to know who you are and what you have in Christ. And this does not depend upon your bank account, how things are going, how things are not going, uphill, downhill. We are greatly graced. The Lord is with us, and thank God we are blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed. The second thing you need to know to succeed in missions impossible in the year to come, You need to know that you don't have to fear. Well, wait a minute, Pastor Nichols. You touched on that subject last Sunday morning. If I touch on it every Sunday morning, it's not too often. Because the biggest enemy of your life and my life is not people, lack of finances, threats, whatever it may be. The biggest problem in the believer's life is resident fear. And that's why the Bible says from Genesis to Revelation, fear not. Brother Rodney Howard Brown shared something with us. He just got back from London, had 10,000 registered delegates from all through that part of the world. And God used him in a mighty way in London. London and the United Kingdom is waking up. God is pouring out of his spirit all over the world. But he said one night there was a big to-do, and here comes this entourage in the side door of the auditorium in some reserved seats. Here comes the president of Zambia. And with all of his bodyguards and with all of his entourage, they all came in and sat down. He said, for just a moment, you almost feel a little bit intimidated when the president of a nation walks in. He said, when I called the prayer line, he said, I thought, what have I got to lose? He said, I just unloaded everything God told me to preach and everything God told me to say. We're not here to impress people. We're here to tell people the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the prayer line was called, one of the first to come into the line was the president of Zambia. Now, you know, we've had a lot of experience in assisting people who are out under the Holy Spirit. But all of a sudden, there was mass hysteria. Who's going to be catcher for the president of Zambia? Because as they looked around, all his security guards went on the floor. All of his secret service men on the floor. He prayed for the president of Zambia just like everybody else. On the floor. God's operating table. No, everyone that's prayed for doesn't experience that. We're not even trying to presuppose that. But I'm telling you that God is pouring out of his spirit all over this world. After the service, the message was sent back to Brother Rodney. Would you please, tomorrow, come and join me for tea. I need to talk with you. He said the next day he went to one of the most prestigious hotels in London. He said, I didn't know rooms could look so nice. Servants everywhere. And when he came into the room with Brother Rodney, the man fell on his face. President of a nation fell on his face and began to weep. Began to rejoice. Listen to me very carefully. Do you know what he said following that expression, that physical expression? He said, my brother, let me tell you what happened to me when I was prayed for. He was already a believer. He said, for the first time in my life, I don't have to be afraid anymore. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to live in fear that someone's going to assassinate me or do me bodily harm because there's such violence in so many of those nations. I don't know what that does for you, but you see, we look back into the Bible. Shepherds were in the story and wise men were in the story. But I tell you that presidents of nations are coming face to face with the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Christmas message is still the same. No matter who you are, a homeless person on the street, broke, impoverished, you don't have to live in fear anymore. There's nothing to be afraid of if Jesus is the Lord of your life. How many women live in fear of some cruel man? How many children live in fear? Our world's filled with fear. But thank God I can preach it and shout it from the housetops. One of the cardinal doctrines of this house goes right back to the bedrock of God's word. Fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you up with the right hand of my righteousness. You say, I don't have much of an education. Fear not. You might say, I'm kind of broke today. Temporary inconvenience. You might say, I'm having a battle with my health. The healer's in the house. You might say, I've lost my confidence. Oh, listen to the words of Paul. I'm confident that he which hath begun a good work in me is going to finish it. People, I know there's a stern side to the gospel. Hell is rougher than any of us could ever preach it or ever tell it. But when you meet Jesus, it switches from hell to heaven. We don't live with hell on our mind anymore, except remembering those that we're trying to keep from going there. But I guess it is appropriate, the song that has been written and has been sung, I've got heaven on my mind. You listen to the world, part of their vocabulary is hell. They don't even know what they're talking about. Thank God we're talking about heaven. And heaven's a good place. You don't have to fear. I don't have to live in fear anymore. When Brother Rodney shared that, I don't think there was a dry eye in that meeting. And especially with me, as I thought about the most powerful man in that powerful African nation who had just received his personal revelation, I don't have to live in fear anymore. Well, that's number two message, fear not, Mary. Number three message, part of this message in how to succeed in missions impossible in the year to come. Know how to handle impossible situations God's way. Don't let impossible situations overwhelm you. Now, Mary asked a very intelligent question. It wasn't a faithless question. Things are so strange nowadays that I doubt if that question would have been asked. But this woman is a virgin. She's never had a relationship, physical relationship with a man. And now the message comes that you're not to have a physical relationship with Joseph, but you're going to have a baby. Now, I mean, you know, any intelligent person in the world is going to say exactly what Mary said, especially a woman. How shall this be? Just like this building when this thing opened up, I could see it, but my head said, how shall it be? We don't have the money. We don't have the backing. We don't have the people. But you see, it's not what you have in your pocket. It's what you have in your faith that makes the difference. Mary said, how shall this be? And you know, this is the way any of it is. How could the revival of June 93 be? The Holy Ghost got involved in this place. I remember two Sunday mornings. Thank God we don't have. We've got a much higher level of spirituality in our church. But I remember people just shuffling out saying, well, I don't hear him saying anything. You see, it took about 10 days before the Holy Ghost hit us. But once we got hit, our church has never been the same. See, we look for the profound. We look for the prolific. We look for the orator. We look for the the man or the woman that has the great charisma. And God just keeps on speaking out in Holy Ghost simplicity. He said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. You see, in other words, he's saying in line with this, we've got to learn to depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit. I could say the same thing about me. I'm not the same man I was 18 months ago. You're not the same man you were just a few months ago. And it's the same thing that we could say. Do you want to be the same? I don't want to be the same. I've had people say, well, when are you going to settle down and get back? Forget it. We're all a little different. I know there's visions and dreams in your heart and in the natural. You'd say, how shall it be? The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. We've all got to learn to depend upon the Holy Ghost in a deeper way, a stronger way. In our music, in our teaching, in our preaching, in our giving, in our going, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. So many things I can't do. I can think of a number of things that I know need to be done. I can't do them, but the Holy Ghost in this house is going to bring it to pass. Well, number four, how to succeed in missions impossible. Know that God's word is your final authority. Be it unto me according to thy word, is what Mary said. Be it unto me according to thy word. You know, there is nothing stronger on the face of God's earth than getting a rhema word in your spirit. That you know. A lot of people said the political trends of our nation can never change. But watch it, they just did a few days ago. And I'm telling you, people that are steeped in anti-God humanism and people that do not even have a clue where evangelicals are coming from. I don't have time to listen to precious little television or anything of that nature, but I've had a little more time here the last few days. And I heard a Presbyterian. Now that's interesting. Of all things, I heard a Presbyterian bring a very stirring message on, yes, the Christians are coming. Yes, the religious right is alive and well. And we're coming back where we used to be, to this nation that was founded upon In God We Trust. Last time I checked my coins, it was still there. The only nation in the world whose currency is dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty. Yeah, we've got to know that God's word is the final authority. You see, there's two things that I believe God's bringing back to the church. Jesus said, you do err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. That's why I thank God for Calvary Cathedral. It's like one preacher in another state called me, desiring to have, hopefully, in his church, what God was doing here. And God has blessed that church. But he said something that I can't get away from. He said, Brother Bob, we know each other well. And I mean, he's a clean, mean teaching machine. I mean, line upon line, precept upon precept. But he said, we've got a perfect church, but it's perfectly dead. He said, we have taught and educated our people from God's word beyond their ability to execute it. Now think about that. You better know we need teaching. That's why we have a Bible school. But friends, there's two things that must happen as we see this Joel's revival continue to move across our world. We've got to know the scriptures. God does not want us to be scripturally illiterate, but we've got to know the power of God. We must know the power of God. How many understand what I'm telling you? We must know the power of God. If you're all word and no power, that'll make a Pharisee out of you. And if you're all power and no word, flaky. You're like the little train that blew its whistle until it couldn't pull the load. A little steam train. Remember the story long ago. But the cry of my heart for Calvary Cathedral, oh God, I want a strong in the word, but I want a strong in the power of the Holy Ghost. And I believe God's giving us the desire of our heart. And that's why every service is not going to be the same. I'm giving you some meat this morning that's going to set the pace for the year to come. Every one of us have missions impossible. We've seen a lot of victories this past year, but we haven't seen anything yet in comparison to what we're going to see. You'll look at yourself a few months from now, my brother, and you'll say, I don't even recognize myself. We'll look at our ministries. We'll look at our faith. We'll look at exploits. My brother, and we'll say, we just got started. We've just begun. Oh, we need to know that God's word is the final authority, but we must remember that it's the power of the Holy Ghost that brings the execution of it. Be it unto me according to thy word. You know, all I want for me and all I want for my family and all I want for the church that I pastor and all I desire for the kingdom of God, Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Just let your word come to pass, and it will. Well, number five, in these insights from Luke chapter 1 on how to succeed in missions impossible in the year to come, number five, know that to receive, you got to believe. You got to believe. You got to believe. For the word of God said, blessed, verse 45, blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things. She that believeth. You know, I thank God that the true word of faith has been taught in this house. People can laugh at it. They can make fun of it. But everything you see in this house, my friend, has come from faith in the true word of the living God. I don't want anything that I couldn't get without my faith. Wouldn't be good for us. But when your faith brings it to pass, it always honors God. You see, blessed is she that believeth. Blessed is he that believeth. I have a word from you. Just keep on believing. I love the definition. In an old book that came out of Gospel Publishing House, I believe it was Mrs. Newsom, if I remember correctly, but she said, belief is the hand of faith that lays hold of the promise of God and will not let go. Oh, we can talk about this faith stuff all you want to, but somewhere you got to get a grip on it. Got to get a grip on it. Heaven has 10 million zillion warehouses of answers that were on the way, but they were aborted because people stopped believing. They started believing, but they stopped believing. I want to say something to you. Listen to me. I'd rather be believing for three things and believe with all my heart than try to believe for 100 things and just be running from thing to thing to thing, never accomplishing anything. I just said something very important. Let's lock in on bedrock things that we believe for this year to come. If it's only one, thank God you did one thing well. If it's only two, thank God we did two things right. But let's determine what our priorities are. And don't be just like a child in a toy store running, I want this, no, I want that, no, I want this. I think we become so spoiled, so spoiled, so spoiled. But lock in on what God says. Get a grip on it. And don't let go. Lock in. Think it, sleep it, eat it, believe it, pray it, rejoice in it. Lock in. This is the year of breakthrough. This is your year of breakthrough, but you got to believe. Get a grip on it and don't let go. All right, two more. The next insight to succeed in missions impossible. It's very close to the last point, but there's a little twist here. Follow me closely. There in 45. Blessed is she that believed. You've got to know that blessed is she that believed, because there shall be a performance of those things which were told her by the Lord. See, now, first of all, I'm emphasizing you got to believe. And that's why you need hope. Hope's that happy rope holder. Hope sits there with that silly faith grin on his face when it looks like it'll never come to pass. You got to believe. But for those that do believe, there shall be a performance of those things that God has promised. There shall be a performance. Do you see that? It's so close there. First of all, you got to believe. And the look on some people's face trying to believe. Get a grip on hope along with that believing. Hope, that happy anticipation that a better day is coming. Hope is the happy rope holder. You say, Brother Hope, Sister Hope, how long you gonna hang in there? Until it comes to pass. Not letting go of my rope of hope. No way. You gotta believe, but if you believe, thank God there shall be a performance of those things which were spoken by the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me ask you a question. If it hasn't happened, you'll say, huh? Has God really told you anything? Has God really said something to you, or was it a pizza dream? Too many Whataburgers? Has God really... I'm mixing a little humor with it, but has God really said, brother, greatest anointing you've ever experienced in your life, it's coming. You think you've seen something? You haven't seen anything yet in comparison. Some of you have a vision for your husband or your wife, your children, to be saved. Satan is like a football game. He'll do everything within his power to dislodge the ball, turnover. Those big brutes bounce on each other with one thing in mind: if we can only dislodge the pigskin, if we can only dislodge the football. And any expert will tell you, all things being equal, two teams fairly equal in ability, the thing that makes the difference is the turnovers. God, stir us this morning. Here we are headed for the 2-yard line, and we let unbelief dislodge faith from our spirit. And we drop the ball, and instead of us making the touchdown, the other team picks up the ball, and they profit by our mistakes. There's an anointing here this morning. Hold on to what God has told you. But Pastor, you don't know how long I've believed. How long did Abraham believe? Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. This church didn't come into full stride overnight either. Our ministry hasn't come into full stride or wherever we are today. At one time, if we were written up in Charisma, we would have been written up years ago as the slowest growing church in America. I always get amused about these fastest growing churches in America. It's usually a figment of somebody's imagination or somebody's pencil. And next year it ain't that way. Because God doesn't give a holy hoot about competition. God's interested in a harvest of souls. But I want to challenge you, what has God really said? Now, if he hasn't really said anything, don't try to manufacture it, but I would suggest, as the new year's approaching, spend some quiet time with God this year and get that thing lodged in your spirit. What are you expecting this year? What are you believing to come to pass? What are you believing God for in your finances, in your marriage, in your relationships? Lock into it. Folks, this is not a plaything. This is not a candy store. This is not some kind of a fantasy world. Real faith in God's word really works. But you gotta believe. Get a grip on it. And don't let anything shake you and dislodge the faith of God that's in your heart. Well, the final insight that I would share with you from the beautiful, powerful Christmas story in Luke chapter 1. In verse 46, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. You see, the seventh insight that God wants us to have here is to know that there is unlimited power in the forces of God. Let me explain what I'm saying. There's the force of praise and worship. Do we have praise and worship just to entertain you? No. There is a force when you get involved in praise and worship. You remember in Psalms 13, we shared with you last week when David was saying, how long will it ever come to pass? Oh God, have you forgotten? In fact, he got so desperate, he said, hey God, I don't think you're understanding my prayer. I'm going to die if you don't come down here and help me and do it very quickly. David was in a world of hurt. But read verses 5 and 6, and one of the things that David said, see, God wasn't hearing that soulish realm prayer of sympathy. But when he locked into verses 5 and 6, things began to change in his life. I will praise the Lord. I will rejoice in the salvation of God. I can do that. You see, there's a force in praise and worship. As I said, we received an emergency phone call last night. A broken-hearted husband said the doctor's just left the room, and here's what they say. Boy, in my heart, anger, righteous anger rose up, and I said, no way, no way. We didn't go in and pray a little religious prayer. We went in there and we began to praise and worship God. And we began to magnify the name of the Lord. We began to sing songs that exalt the Lord. God came down in that room. God came down in that room. As we began to exalt the Lord and sing healing choruses and even some Christmas choruses. I tell you, these Christmas choruses have a lot of faith in them. Most of them do. As we began to praise and worship, we didn't even pray until we had spent some time in praise and worship. But I tell you, when you begin to praise and worship God, we enter his presence with singing. Try it. Prime the pump. When you don't feel like praying, spend some time in praise and worship. Just get up in the morning and get you a hot cup of tea or coffee if you're not sanctified totally yet. And just sit there and just say, I love you, Lord. I worship you. I thank you for all of your goodness and your mercy. Oh, I worship you. And I'll tell you, when you begin to praise and worship God, all of heaven gets involved in that. There's a force to praise and worship. There's a force to prayer. Someone said, well, I just don't believe in these little religious prayer services. We've never said that everything we do around here is the perfect, the ultimate, the only way to do it, but it's better than doing nothing. And if you keep doing something, you're going to rise to the ultimate. Prayer. Keep on praying. Old song they used to sing, just keep on praying till light breaks through. Just keep on praying. He'll answer you. We're not going to pray less. We're going to pray more in the year to come. Because prayer is not manipulating God. One great evangelist of days gone by, I think that's one reason he didn't live very long. He said Moses had God's arm behind him and a little bitty Moses and big God saying, let me go, Moses. No, you know, sir, you missed the whole point. Prayer is not manipulating God. Prayer is not forcing God to do something that God does not want to do. Prayer releases God to do what he's been waiting to do for a long, long time. Prayer puts us in communion with God. Prayer makes us one with God. Prayer is not just a lot of bawling and a squalling and shedding tears without mixing faith with it. That's religious rhetoric. But when you pray to the Father in Jesus' name, according to the word of God, in faith believing, it shall surely come to pass. Well, there's the force of rejoicing. One of the things David said in Psalms 13 was, I will rejoice. I'm going to be thankful for all of God's bounty. Americans are the biggest gripers on the face of God's earth. Folks, we need to just get hilarious in our rejoicing today. And three more. There's the force of faith. Oh, these faith people. You know, isn't it funny? People gripe about us, but when their back's against the wall, they don't look for those unbelieving folks. They look for faith folks. They don't look for if it be thy will. They're praying God it ain't his will. It's really amazing. You know, they have a lot of things to say. But when your back's against the wall, I want a faith prayer. I want a faith believer. I want a faith minister. I don't need a religious prayer. I want a faith man. I want a faith woman. The force of faith, it's powerful. The force of hope, we've already touched on that. Hope, the happy rope holder. Just walk around with a big grin on your face in the year to come. Make the devil wonder what you're up to. You know, when God said, my temper, before I got right with God, my temper got me into more problems. And then when I got saved, it got me in more problems because there were some things you did not say to me and some vulgar things that people do that you didn't. There's three or four stories that are legend of things that I have done. Just the grace of God helped me. Now I've got my temper on the righteous side, and so there it is, I guess. But you know, I read something one day that has changed my life. Love never fails. I have proven beyond the shadow of a doubt to me, and it's happened again in the last few days. People that say terrible things, tacky things, lies. If you're in the public, you catch it all over a period of time. And if you can't stand the heat, you ought to get out of the kitchen. But you're still human. Every once in a while, it stings. You'd think everybody would be happy about a church having revival, but it's just not quite that way. But I found out one thing. I can win through love. The love of God. But let me just tell you, do you have an impossible situation in your life? Start sowing seeds of love. What you could not do with a loaded gun if you wanted to. What you cannot do with a clenched fist. What you could not do when I've got you right where I want you. The power of the love of God. Turn it around. Love can heal a marriage. Love can heal relationships. Love can heal enemies, not a figment of your imagination, but those who have vowed to be your enemy. And there's not a thing you can say, there's not a thing you can do. But love makes a way. How many feel like you understand what I'm saying? Remember this. What physical force can never do, love is stronger than any army that ever marched. Stronger than all the armed forces. The power of love. God so loved the world. You'd think he'd quit after the reception he got when he arrived, but he just kept on loving. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so I'm telling you that in every mission impossible that faces you in the year to come, we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. I can, you can, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Because I tell you that things that look so impossible to us this day, it's no problem with God. For with God, nothing shall be impossible.